Happy, Doc. Not to say a bit rude. You were leering into the distance like a bull who just spotted 200 cows ready and waiting.
No, Suki. Not that sort of thought. Just that this is such a peaceful place.
He hadn't yet told the woman about his past. He feared that the idea of where he really came from would convince Suki that he was either a liar or a madman. Either way, it didn't seem like the thing to do. Not yet. Soon, but not yet. The lake was as clear as the finest crystal, about 200 paces across. It was surrounded by a bowl of low hills, dotted with clumps of young pines. There were also the blackened stumps of hundreds of dead trees, evidence of a major fire within the past 10 or 15 years. Judas browsed contentedly among the bright grass along the edge of the water, tethered to a feathery tamarisk. Suki sat on a long flat boulder, her white blouse opened low. The knife wound had almost healed. Her turquoise necklace glinted in the brightness of the morning sunshine. Doc lay at her side, his head resting against the warm sandstone.
This paradise, Doc?
Better than the Garden of Eden, Suki. I haven't seen any serpents crawling around to spoil things.
You know so much, Doc, about books and poetry and stuff like that.
Mostly useless baggage, my dear. That is one thing that my time here in the Deathlands has taught me. Ryan Corder has very little of what one used to call book learning, yet he is one of the finest, wisest men that I have ever met.
A fish jumped from the center of the lake, its scales sparkling, the water like rainbow mist as it splashed back out of sight.
Trout.
Very likely.
You aren't hunting, Doc?
No. My talent with a long gun or a rod is about the same as my skill in speaking Mandarin Chinese.
But you said something about leaving Christy and the others to come up here and do some hunting.
Doc was holding his sword stick, poking with the ferrule at the tiny pebbles by his feet.
Did I say that? No, not quite a hunt. Perhaps a hunt for myself.
How's that?
Seek first within yourself. I've been feeling a little less than happy for a while now. I decided that I should take some time alone to try to discover what was wrong and what I should do about it.
Have I fucked that up for you?
Doc sat up so sharply he strained his neck.
Ouch! Did you...
He fell silent for a moment while he considered what she'd said.
I think that what you did was put a lot of things into perspective, Suki.
She reached out for him, and he grasped her hand tightly.
You mean I helped some?
Indeed. I believe that I would like to return to the spread, bring you back with me to meet my friends.
I still got this idea that I'd like to track down my sister in Hope Springs.
Of course. I would not wish to hinder that for a moment, Suki, my dearest. But would you like to come back and meet my companions? Mayhap even Ryan and John Barrymore Dix will have returned during my absence.
Suki sat up again, fastening one of the carved bone buttons on her blouse.
I'd like that. You don't think they'll sort of resent me?
By the three Kennedys, why on earth should they? I think that I should be proud to go anywhere with you upon my arm. Anywhere.
But you still didn't say whether you've kind of cleared your mind, Doc.
Doc looked out across the magnificent view. A pair of ravens had appeared and were swooping low over the far side of Bear Claw Lake, etching their shadows against the still water.
As we make our way back, there are some things I must explain to you about my previous life. Things that may prove difficult for you to believe.
What sort of things?
He patted her hand.
Nothing criminal, my dear. Nothing of which I feel the least ashamed. But a strange story, I promise you that.
Tell me now. Or we could have a cuddle and a kiss, and then you could tell me after that.
Doc smiled, displaying his perfect strong teeth.
You tempt an old man, my sweet one. But the day is passing. If we set off now, then I think we should be safely back at the ranch before sunset tomorrow.
Oh, if you say so, Doc.
I do. And I have a fine, wide bed in my room at the house. But I will tell you before we set off that meeting you has quite changed my perspective on life. I had begun to think that I was walking a lonely path, never daring to turn and look behind for fear. Well, that's not to say Ryan and the others are not good, good friends. They are the best. But when I tell you some more about my past, you'll understand. Like you, Suki, I have lost a marital partner.
I didn't lose my four husbands, Doc. They all just up and died. If any of them had just gotten lost, then I could have searched for them.
Upon my soul. But you are a treasure, ma'am. You are indeed. I meant to say, in my clumsy fashion, that I am a widower.
Children, Doc?
Two. A little girl and a baby boy.
Dead?
Oh, yes. A long while ago. Since I have been traveling here in the Deathlands, I have never for a single hour been able to forget Emily and the children. And I have spent futile times in working out ways of trying to rejoin them.
Top yourself, you mean?
Her fingers tightened on his comfortingly.
Not exactly. But I know that there have been times that my mind is not... What is the expression they use? An ace on the line. My poor befuddled brain has rarely been able to have an ace upon the line.
Times I've been crazy too, Doc. Times when a good day was when I sat and thought how times used to be.
Doc nodded vigorously.
I know what you mean, my dear. Indeed I do.
So?
So, I fear that I have mislaid the thread of my discourse. What was I saying?
How I'd made you feel a sight better.
Yes. The truth is, and I would probably never admit this to another living soul, but the idea of suicide was on my mind. Now, I think that it is not. Now you have helped me see there are reasons for going on.
Am I one of those reasons, Doc?
Of course you are.
Truth?
Truth and consequences, my dear. I have come to appreciate that a man who dwells in the past will only have shadows for company. And that is not enough. The soul will sicken and starve, as I believe mine was.
Starving?
Starving because it was shut off from all the things that matter in life. It had friendship. Without that, then I think I would probably have declined to carry on with living these many months since. But it was too much of a one-way street. Ryan, Christy, and the others have given me their trust and their love. I responded as best I could some of the time. But I realize now that I didn't respond all of the time.
You gave me love. Saved my life as well, Doc. That's two big debts.
Doc stood and smiled down at the woman.
Friends don't have debts, Suki. You owe me nothing, nothing at all. I hope you'll come with me. How long you decide to stay is entirely your business. You understand that?
Suki took his hand and pulled herself upright. She pressed herself against him and kissed him very softly on the lips.
If we're starting off back to the spread, then we should be going, Doc. Small clouds on the horizon.
Ah, those are the shadows of angels' wings, you know. One of the greatest of the pre-dark singers and writers, John Stewart, wrote that.
It's lovely.
Indeed it is. I know more of his songs. Perhaps I might acquaint you with a few as we pick our way back toward the desert floor.
That'd be nice, Doc.
There was a short shower of light rain during the middle of the afternoon, just enough to lay the dust and bring a scent of freshness to the high country. By the time the sun was setting far away across the plains to the west, they had reached a camping spot perched on the edge of the plateau, a shaded stream and good grass for Judas, and a sheltering wall of smooth rock for their blankets. Suki rummaged through their packs.
Not much food left, Doc. If I hadn't come along, I guess you'd have gone home earlier or else done some hunting.
Doc thought about the third option that had been closest to the front of his mind. The option that would have found him so deep into the nest of trails and passes that nobody would ever have found him. Would never have found his body. Now, all of that had changed. He stood on the lip of the tumbling drop and tried to locate the speck of light in the gloaming that would be the ranch where the others were waiting. But he could see nothing. LaVille's food was about adequate. There was trout, the skin blackened, some of the flesh too pink, oozing a clear liquid, but parts of the fish were excellent. There were creamed potatoes, well prepared, with a sweet mixture of apple and pink cabbage. Some duck, too greasy for Ryan's palate, with wild rice and a mix of thinly sliced peppers, covered in